guys. I'm probably a little bigger steak guy than he is. I enjoy a good piece of meat cooked on the grill especially. So when you're losing by 25 and it's a seventh straight loss and it's a Friday night, what else are we going to talk about, right? I didn't feel like people wanted to hear every dribble of every second of that game at that point. And I'm not sure anyone wanted to hear about steak either, but I thought given the two options, maybe someone would get a chuckle out of our steak conversation. But yeah, that was a death march that last 10 minutes of that basketball game for sure on Friday night.
Well, you guys brought up an interesting point in the pregame. Well, what was the stat? Well, this was the first Friday game for the Gophers in how long?
Well, the best we can tell, the Gophers have always, all teams usually open on a Friday night, that second November and Friday, and that second Friday in November is usually the opener. So they've played Friday games before, but in terms of conference play, I said I never remembered a game. In my 12 years, I never remembered a Friday game in conference. And our sports information director dug up that in 2000, what year was it, 10, so it would have been 7 years ago, we played Michigan State on a Friday. But I have to do a little bit more digging on that. If memory serves me correct, that was a New Year's Eve game, and so that was a special circumstance. And I want to say it was a daytime game, even though it was a Friday, but I can't remember exactly that. And so my recollection is this is the first evening Friday night game that in the Big Ten, a regular season game. Now, they played Big Ten tournament games on Friday before, you know, because that's a Thursday, Friday, into the weekend kind of a deal. But I'm talking regular season. And it's all part of the new TV package. This was a Fox Sports 1, an FS1 production. And when the new TV package came about, that included a new night of games, really two. We hadn't played Mondays in a long time, and we have a few Mondays this year, and that I remember outside of special circumstances ever played Friday. So it's a TV situation when you're trying to feed the beast, so to speak. And I don't necessarily disagree with it. It does play havoc on the schedules. The coaches hate it because there's no routine. But to me, the Big Ten probably is better served, quite frankly. Let's say this was last year, that game would have been likely on a Thursday night. And now there's four games on Thursday, and so you can get lost in the shuffle. I don't mind the fact that one game gets thrown in on a Friday for some exposure. It happened to be Minnesota this week. They're only playing one on Mondays and one on Fridays. And so I think in the grand scheme of things, it's okay. You just have to learn to live with it.
Being joined by the voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm on Mulward County Sports Live. And, you know, as we start looking back on the season, you know, Richard Pitino has talked a lot about at least doing everything that he can to keep team morale up, especially at this point in the season where the Gophers are just trying to finish above 500, which even though with the schedule that is left on is left over the last four games could very well much be a daunting task. But a two-part question with it, really one of the few bright spots of the season, and it would have been easy for it to go the other way for Nate Mason as a senior in his last year of college basketball to go a completely different way, but what he's some of the things that he's done for this team this year has certainly been nothing short of impressive.
He's had a great year. I think he's probably had a better year this year than last year when he was first team All Big Ten point guard, but because the team has had less success, he's not going to, you know, I don't see any way he's going to make first team All Big Ten point guard this year. Plus, there's some other guys that have stepped up as well at that position. But that said, I think he's been really, really good. I mean, he's had to be. He's had to take more shots, certainly of late. You know, he has had, I forgot what he had the other night, 19 or whatever it was, 22, I forget. But he had 25 a couple of nights. He had 26 against Rutgers. He had 34 against Nebraska. And he, like all players, will have an off night, but he's given it his all. There was a stretch where he played every minute of every game for three straight games. He's doing what he's asked. For the most part, he's done it without complaining. He's been frustrated with the officiating, and I think that's gotten the best of him. When you're losing, it's easy to fall into that mode. You don't think anything's going your way. And that would be really the only negative thing that I have to say about it. And, as you know, even the radio guy gets a little frustrated with the officiating at times, so I can't blame him too much for that either. Although he's out there trying, you know, you have to get back on defense and not complain, and I know that's an issue with Pitino. But, he's done remarkably well. And he stayed positive. He's done what he's asked. He's kept a positive frame of mind. So, when you're a senior and your hopes are that you can contend for a Big Ten title or at least play meaningful games in February, and that has not come true because of everything that's out of your control, to continue to play at that level, I think this speaks well of the young man.
You know, on that same note, on the flip side of that, just because of how much is weighed on this team, and especially with it being because of a lot of things that are out of team control with injuries and what happened to Reggie Lynch at the beginning of the Big Ten schedule, is it at the point, or are we at the point now where this team has any pinpoint objectives that they go into the offseason with, or is it really just a matter right now of let's just get to the offseason?
I think that I think right now it's let's get to the Big Ten tournament and see where the team sits. Can Coffey play? Can McBrayer play? And if those two guys can play, then maybe they've got a chance to make a little bit of a run. The problem is to get there and to have any type of postseason hope, you almost have to win the thing. I don't know. I don't think this team is equipped to do that. Even if those two guys are back, maybe. But I think right now you just have to try to stay positive, muster up a couple of wins. You've got a couple of games that you can potentially, you know, you got Iowa at home, Wisconsin on the road. Those are two very winnable games. Tomorrow night against Michigan State and at Purdue, those will be very tough. Even with a full roster, those would have been tough. So, you know, try to muster some wins. Try to, you know, again, stay positive and see where you sit heading into New York, and maybe you can make a run. And then once that's all done, and you can digest the disappointment that was the season, then yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of things to work on in the offseason. Jordan Murphy can continue to progress. He could be a potential Big Ten player of the year next year. And he continues to work on that mid-range jumper, his ball handling a little bit. His free throws have been much better this year. If he takes another step in that category, all those things would be positive. Amir Coffey's got to get healthy. Debree McBrayer's got to get healthy. You know, Isaiah Washington has to learn how to play college basketball, not street ball. And when he gets there, he is showing some signs that he can be a very, very talented. I mean, he has all kinds of talent. Now the question is, can you turn that talent into becoming a very, very good player? And then when the summer hits, you bring in your new recruits and meld them together and hope that everybody stays healthy. Eric Curry's got to continue to rehab. I see him around the team all the time. He's actually running around, so that's an encouraging thing, and he'll be a factor next year as well.
Being joined by the voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm, you bring up Isaiah Washington, and that seemed to be at least coming in one of the points of intrigue, one of the things that we were at least excited to see about Isaiah Washington with that style of basketball that he was bringing in, coming in, growing up where he did in Harlem, but from the sound of it, so he just needs to hone it in a little bit more, or what have you seen so far just out of Isaiah Washington in his freshman year?
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between being just, you know, complete what you call playground ball and being a college basketball teammate. And I think he's trying to figure out where that fine line is. He can get by anybody, it looks like. Of late, he has really, I think, taken the step forward in terms of finding open guys. The old school point guard, you don't see him much anymore, of dish after you drive. You know, drive, draw a couple, and dish. You know, drive, draw, dish, I guess, if you want to repetitiveness, alliteration, so to speak. But he's gotten better at that. His shot selection has not been very good. And then when he does take a good shot, sometimes he takes it in kind of these weird, fancy ways to try to make it look fancy when a simple layup or a simple, you know, six-foot jumper would do. And so all of that has got to be balanced out. He's shown some real flashes. He had 26 against Michigan. He had 16 against Iowa. He scored okay, 15 or something the other day against Indiana, but I didn't think he played a particularly great game in that one. So all those things he has to get better, and it's an interesting coaching challenge because his strength can be his weakness, and that's a hard player to coach in terms of what his strength is his unbridled, fearlessness, so to speak. Like, he's not scared to take any shot, but yet you want as a coach to not limit that, not make him feel like he's looking over his shoulder all the time or questioning whether it's a good shot or not. But at the same time, you can't just have your point guard chucking up terrible shots because you become so inefficient offensively. So there's a fine line there that eventually he's going to have to figure out. And I do think when he does, he has a bona fide chance of being an all-league kind of player.
You spend a lot more time around Richard Pitino than we do down here, and really even in a different light as well, you know, at times in pregame situations and in practices and interviews when all the cameras aren't on. it seems from the outside standpoint like this year has almost been harder on him than 2 years ago when the team went 8-23, and they certainly have some of the same things that have gone wrong this year with injuries and suspensions of the sort. But have you gotten that sense that, you know, just of how tough this year has been on him?
Yeah, I think this year is tougher. It's been tougher on a lot of people because the hopes were so high. When you go in, and I'm talking now just from a fan standpoint, let's say, aside from Pitino, you go in thinking that you've got the team equipped to, I don't know if they could have won the Big Ten, especially how good Purdue has gotten. Ohio State has taken a step. Michigan State was the favorite, and they're still right in the thick of it. But I think with a full roster, fully healthy, I'm talking all the way back to November, that includes Eric Curry, this team probably would have had a chance. At a minimum, they would have been playing for, you know, a top four seed, I think, and would have been playing very meaningful games. And so when you go in with that as the expectation and the rightful expectation, and then things that are mostly out of your control happen and leave you with what is now a seven-game losing streak, and they've lost 10 of 11, and no one could foresee that, it becomes a very depressing situation. So where before I think you were geared, I don't think anyone thought they'd go 9-22 in year three. I thought they'd be better than that, but they played very close games, and I think everyone had a hunch that that team was going to have to take a step back to take a step forward. That's what happened. So you can live with it a little bit. Well, you can live with this a little bit as well because, you know, it's something out of the control. I do get irritated. I get people commenting a lot on Twitter and what have you that, hey, he's in year five. Why couldn't he have recruited enough depth to take on injuries? And the bottom line is four of his top six players are gone right now, and I don't think anyone could have survived that. I mean, you look at Notre Dame, Bonzi Wells, I think, is their best player. He got hurt. He missed seven games. They were 0-7. So even an established coach like Mike Bray, who has won a lot of NCAA games and has challenged for ACC titles, you lose your best player, and it's hard. You lose seven straight. I mean, this is not a league for the meek. The Big Ten is down maybe a little this year, but no one's going to sit back and say, oh, Minnesota's been injured and they got a guy suspended. It'll eat you up. And that's what happened to Notre Dame in those seven games that he missed, and that's what's happened here. Now, in fairness, Pitino did not lose his best player, maybe not even his second best player. He still has two all-Big Ten caliber players. But when you lose your next four, and McBrayer, let's face it, now he's played in games, but he's not practiced in a practice setting since Christmas or before, that makes it hard. And again, people say, well, there they are making up excuses. It's not an excuse. It's fact. I mean, it's happened. Show me any other team that's taken on this kind of a hit and withstood it and still contended for a title. And it's got to be a very rare occurrence. So it's unfortunate, and that's how I guess you have to cope with it as a coach, to live with it and say, look, it is what it is. A lot of this stuff's out of his control.
Well, of course, coming up here tomorrow night with Michigan State, Gopher Basketball Weekly tomorrow at noon as well. Certainly more to listen to, and hopefully a little bit more of maybe a little bit more of an enthused Richard Pitino. I want to leave it on this, Mike, of course, you know, just teasing Gopher Basketball Weekly tomorrow. That was what really sparked that thought and that question was the way the show opened on Tuesday. I know you were trying to go a little tongue-in-cheek with him, and we got the, you know, from Richard Pitino, the idea of, you know, yep, you know, it is what it is. He kind of just seemed out of it in the beginning.
I think he does that just to try to make me uncomfortable. I actually think he's coping pretty well. I think part of his coping mechanism is to make fun of me a little bit, which is fine. I can handle it. And so I'll say this: I've been through some different years where the things have gone wrong. There was one year where Tubby lost his point guard Al Nolan to an injury. And I think they lost like their last nine games. And I love Tubby. He's as nice of a guy as you're ever going to meet. But that was not a fun experience to have to do those weekly shows with him during that stretch. And Pitino has not been that way at all. I mean, he is, I think, handling it fine. That coach's show is, you know, it's not like a death march to get there. Like, oh, God, we got to do a coach's show. And quite honestly, he answers the questions in a thoughtful way, takes his time in answering. So I think from that standpoint, he as best as he can, he's coping. One of the ways to cope, I think, is to try to find some humor in it, even though there's not a lot to laugh about right now.